you very much, Eduardo. And it's a great pleasure for me to be here. I would like to thank the organizer for giving me the opportunity to come here. And I apologize that I couldn't come for yesterday. So I will be telling you about some recent papers by myself, and I will also mention talks, mention some work by other people about a new picture of the composite fermions in quantum Hall effect. We will see that particle Hall symmetry give us a very different perspective on the nature of the composite fermions in quantum Hall effect, and possibly this new way of thinking may also be important in our understanding of strongly interacting surfaces of topological insulators. There will be talks by Max after my talk, so I will not be talking about topological insulator here, concentrating here only on the quantum Hall physics. The plan of my talk is as follows. First, I will remind you about the composite fermions in the fractional quantum Hall effect. Then I will describe a problem that is has been known for a long time, the problem of particle Hall symmetry that has been plugging the standard picture of the quantum Hall, the composite fermion, for 20 years. And I will propose a solution to the problem based on a notion of a Dirac composite fermions. And I will describe then the consequences of this new picture. So here's the graph that you probably have seen many times. This is the graph of the plateaus and that correspond to different fractional quantum Hall states. I think this is from a paper by Horst Stommer. You see, for example, here a plateau corresponds to nu equal 1/3 state. For a pure sample, you also have plateaus that correspond to higher fractions. The graph here, the almost diagonal lines correspond to the dependence of the Hall resistivity on the magnetic fields. Classical Hall effect correspond to a straight line. The plateaus correspond to the fractional quantum Hall state. Each of these plateaus in the Hall conductivity correspond to a dip in the longitudinal resistivity. So one here, one of the systematics that you can see here is that there is a change. There is a series of plateaus that correspond to filling fraction nu equal n divided by 2n plus 1. Let me remind you that the filling fraction is defined as the fraction, the ratio of the density of electrons over the density of the state in the lowest Landau level. There are plateau corresponding to nu equal n divided by 2n plus 1, and also another series symmetric with respect to this line that correspond to nu equal n plus 1 divided by 2n plus 1. These sequences of plateaus are called Jane sequences, and the notion of composite fermion allows us to understand how these relatively stable plateaus appear in the quantum Hall state. By the way, if you have any question during the talk, please ask me, and please interrupt me during my talk. So these the notion of the composite fermions was introduced by James in 1989, and a similar notion was also used a little bit later in the context of quantum field theory that was introduced in various contexts. In the there is I will mention that later. So roughly speaking, a composite fermion is electrons bound with an even number of flux quanta. The one of the central fact of this composite fermion picture is that the number of composite fermions is equal to the number of electrons. In some sense, we transform the original electrons to a gas of composite fermion by attaching magnetic fluxes. So the number of composite fermions has to be the same as the number of electrons. And they live in a reduced average magnetic field that you can compute by taking the by smearing out the flux that you have attached to the electrons. This picture provides a unified explanation for a large number of quantum Hall plateaus, in particular the plateaus that I have drawn your attention to in the previous transparency. The way it explains these plateaus is by mapping the fractional quantum Hall state of electrons to the integer quantum Hall state of the composite fermion. Another thing that it does is that it gives us an understanding of the Fermi liquid nature of the nu equal 1/2 state. The half field Landau level was observed to be a gapless state, which exhibits properties consistent with a Fermi liquid of some quasi-particles with momenta near the sum values that can be identified with the radius of the Fermi surface for this object. So near nu equal 1/2 is where there is the strongest experimental evidence for the existence of the composite fermion as the quasi-particle behind the fractional quantum Hall effect. So the quantum field theory, one can write down, and it has been written down in the 1990s by Eduardo and Lopez, and then developed by Halperin, Lee, and Reed, consists of a fermionic field that describes the composite fermions coupled to internal statistical gauge field denoted here by small a mu, and also to the external electromagnetic field denoted here by capital A. The Lagrangian of this field theory contains a Chern-Simons term. This Chern-Simons term, ADA, where A is the statistical gauge field, enforces a constraint that relates the magnetic flux, the magnetic field of the small a field with the density of the fermion. In particular, if you look at this constraint, B equal 2 times 2 pi psi dagger psi, and imagine that you have a point-like source. The fermion density is concentrated at a point. That point would correspond to a magnetic flux with a magnitude of 2 times the magnetic flux quantum. So that is the mathematical manifestation of what we call flux attachment in the previous transparency. The way the theory works is that you take this theory and then you do mean field approximation, smearing out the small a field, although the small a field, as we have seen in this equation, should looks like a collection of point-like solenoidal fields. We smear it out and treat the fermion as living in an average magnetic field equal to the original magnetic field plus the magnetic field coming from the small a. If we choose the sign right, then the average magnetic field felt by the composite fermion is reduced compared to the original magnetic field. And we can translate this formula as saying that the effective filling fraction for the composite fermion, the inverse of that number is equal to the inverse of the filling fraction of the electrons minus 2, where 2 is the number of flux quanta that we have attached to a composite fermion. In particular, the famous nu equal 1/3 state would correspond to nu composite fermion equal 1, that is just the integer, simplest integer quantum Hall effect of the composite fermion. But there are some loose ends to the Chern-Simons field theory. that sometimes people talk about, but sometimes you don't see a lot of this discussion, especially in more modern discussions of the quantum Hall effect. People get used, have been getting used to this loose end. Sometimes I feel a vague uneasiness with the flux attachment procedure. And the reason is the following. This flux attachment, you attach a flux that is an even, now this picture is from a review of flux attachment by Daniel Arovas in the 1980s. You attach a flux that should be even integer, and you try to convince these electrons that it will do nothing to this electron because the Aronov bomb effect will disappear if the flux is equal to an integer. The statistics of the electron will remain fermionic. So the flux should not do anything, but in the Chern-Simons theory, in the Chern-Simons picture of the composite fermion, it does something. It maps a very complicated fractional quantum Hall state to a simple integer quantum Hall state. Something is magical here. I don't understand that.
Only at the mean field level.
Only at the mean field level. If you go exactly beyond, if you try to sum up the diagram to all orders in the scattering between two composite fermions, this Chern-Simons term should disappear. Most common criticism of the HLR theory is actually related to the lack of explicit lowest Landau level projection. Or we can think about that as the problem with the limit of the zero bare mass of the electrons. You can start by thinking about electrons in the magnetic field and formally take the limit of the electron mass to zero. In this case, the distance in energy between the Landau levels goes to infinity, but you still have the non-trivial physics on the lowest Landau level. The physics should remain finite, but there is no way one can take that limit in the HLR theory. I think this problem is actually just the same problems as we have thinking about helium-3. In helium-3, the effective mass of the helium-3 quasi, of the fermionic quasi-particle is very different from the bare mass of the electrons. But we know that we can understand still the low energy physics of the of helium-3 by assuming that there is some mechanism that would change the effective mass of the quasi-particle considerably from the value it has in vacuum. Here the problem is a little bit more serious because there is a hierarchy between the composite fermion mass and the electron mass. You can actually take this ratio to infinity, but I think in principle that can be fixed phenomenologically. We can simply accept that as an input. The effective mass of the composite fermion can be just accepted as an input to the low energy effective theory. Perhaps the more fundamental problem is the lack of particle hole symmetry in the standard composite fermion story. Particle hole symmetry is the following symmetry. It is a symmetry that exists. It is an emergent symmetry that you have only if you can think about the problem as a purely lowest dimension, lowest Landau level problem. There is a transformation that takes a state that you can think of as occupation number basis as a state where you occupied some orbitals on the lowest Landau levels and leave some other orbitals unoccupied. It maps that state to another state in the Hilbert space where the unoccupied orbitals becomes occupied and vice versa. In the mathematical language, that transformation map an empty state, an empty Landau level to a completely filled Landau level. And it also exchanges the role of creation and annihilation operators on the Lewis Landau level. And one should define this operator to be an anti-unitary operator if we want the Hamiltonian of the Coulomb interaction between the electrons to be invariant with respect to this symmetry, independent of the basis that is chosen. This transformation maps the state with the Fearing fraction nu to a new state with the Fearing fraction 1 minus nu. And one can show that it is an exact symmetry on the Lewis Landau level when the mixing of that Lewis Landau level to a higher Landau level is negligible. The particle hole symmetry maps, for example, a state belonging to one chain sequence, nu equal n divided by 2n plus 1, to another state with nu equal n plus 1 divided by 2n plus 1, which is 1 minus the value written here. So these two states have to be the same. There is a symmetry that exchanged them. On the other hand, in the standard composite fermion theory, the two states map into different integer quantum Hall state of the composite fermion. So for example, if you take nu equal 1/3, we have said that that map onto a single field Landau level. But the same, but the particle hole conjugate of that state, nu equal 2/3, if one does the algebra and compute the Fearing fraction of the composite fermion, that turn out to be two field Landau level. So there is obviously a breaking of the symmetry introduced by the way we are thinking about the problem, but not by the original Hamiltonian.
Can you comment on something? Physically, there is a difference between these two states. It's true that one can make this mapping, mm-hmm. but if you look at the density profile of the 1/3, you go from the empty state outside the electron gas, so to speak, to the 1/3 state. Mm-hmm. If you try to do that for 2/3, you cannot do that. You have to go through nu equals 1 first, and then down to mm-hmm. nu equals 2/3. Mm-hmm. And so that introduces an extra edge state, if you mm-hmm. wish.
Mm-hmm. The boundary between the nu equals 0 and nu equal 1/3 state is the same as the boundary between nu equal 2/3 and nu equal 1 state.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to come from outside the system, which is clearly not invariant and the particle hole.
No, the vacuum is not.
Right.
The vacuum is not, but the bulk is.
Yes, the bulk. But then you need to assume that outside the system is in no equal spot, whereas in practice it's not. So in a real electron gas, what I'm saying is that the symmetry is only it's at best an approximate symmetry.
It is a good symmetry in the bulk. So the statement here, for example, is that if you take two states like this, at the same magnetic field but different density, all the bulk properties would be the same.
But there are differences that you can use to distinguish 2/3 from the 1/3.
You can, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can, but you use the fact that the vacuum is not invariant.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a symmetry that is inherent in nature, so we are living in a outside the Lewis Landau level, so we can actually distinguish them. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that the theory that we are building for this system must know about the symmetry, and it doesn't have this symmetry explicitly. All the other higher chain state also are distinct from each other. There is one extra extra field Landau level for nu bigger than 1/2.
Weren't there some attempts to make particle symmetric Pfaffian states?
Yeah, I will mention that.
You're talking about Pfaffian.
Yeah.
These are not Pfaffian.
The Pfaffian state is, I will turn to that question a little bit later. So if one think about the nu equal 1/2 state, the problem is even more bizarre. If you take Fermi, we know that nu equal 1/2 state can be thought of as the Fermi liquid of the composite fermion. So we have, in momentum space, field Fermi C of the composite fermion. If we think very naively, each of these field states have to be mapped to an empty hole. The field sphere becomes an empty sphere, and that obviously doesn't make sense. Another problem with the composite fermion picture is that it's very hard to fit the anti-Pappian state into the composite fermion. The Pappian state can be thought of as a P plus IP BCS pair state of the composite fermion. We know that this Pappian state is not particle hole symmetric. There exists, we know that from 2007, that there is an anti-Pappian state, which is a particle conjugate of the Pappian. One can ask whether one can pair the composite fermion in a different channel to get the anti-Pappian state. So for example, in the P plus IP channel, it's a Pappian state. How about the P minus IP pairing of the composite fermion? Basically the same P wave pairing, but a different angular sign of the angular momentum. And one can do a very quick check that the shift would be wrong. The shift of the anti-Pappian state is expected to be minus one, while the shift of the state that we constructed this way would be one. So the problem is that we don't have a good description of the anti-Pappian state in terms of the composite fermion. Now, the HLR theory has a problem at the level of calculation of transport properties. At mu equal 1/2, it was shown by Kiwetson and collaborators that particle hole symmetry required sigma xy to be equal 1/2. But the HLR plus mean field theory implies rho xy equal 1/2. And these two statements are different from each other because the rho matrix is the inverse of the sigma matrix, but there are diagonal components. So if we put in the diagonal component, rho xy equal to 0 correspond to sigma xy is less than 1/2. Kiwetson and collaborator also noticed in 1997 that in order to enforce the condition that sigma xy equal 1/2 in the quantum hole state, we can do that by requiring that the composite fermion has a non-zero hole conductivity at zero average magnetic field. We have said that at half filling of the electrons, the composite fermions do not feel any magnetic field. But here we have to assume, in order to enforce the condition of particle hole symmetry on sigma xy, that the composite fermion has a non-zero hole conductivity equal minus 1/2 times the quantum of the hole conductivity. So that would be a non-zero value inconsistent with the prediction of the HLR theory that the hole conductivity of the composite fermion is zero because there is no magnetic field. So I want to present a new view on the composite fermions, that the composite fermion is actually not what people have been thinking it was for a long time. It is should be thought of as a Dirac fermion. And the Dirac fermion, the Dirac nature of the composite fermion is related to the Berry phase that one can observe in principle by dragging a composite fermion around the Fermi disk. The Berry phase should be equal to pi. Under particle hole symmetry, the composite fermion transform into a composite fermion, not absence of the composite fermion, not a hole. And the composite fermion interact with each other through a U1 gauge field, whose action does not have a Chern Simon term. So the number of the composite fermion is half of the number of magnetic flux quanta, but not related to, in general, to the number of the electrons. So this is the result of the paper that I've written in the beginning of this year, and there are many other developments since then. I will not have time and knowledge to review all of them. So briefly speaking, the picture is that under particle hole symmetry, the Fermi sphere of the composite fermion doesn't map onto an empty disk as we imagined before. It's mapped onto a still Fermi sphere of the composite fermion. Fermionic excitation on one side of the Fermi surface map onto a composite fermion excitation on the other side, opposite side of the Fermi surface. Just in the same way as you imagine time reversal would act on the electrons, particle Hall symmetry acts similarly at the level of the composite fermion. So the first indication that the fermion, the composite fermion has to be Dirac can be seen by looking again at the mapping of the filling fraction. Nu equal n over 2n plus 1 maps into composite fermion filling fraction n, and nu equal n plus 1 divided by 2n plus 1 map onto nu composite fermion equal n plus 1 according to the standard picture. And we have identified that discrepancy as something serious. In order to resolve that, the naive thing would be to take these two numbers and try to make an average of them. So we want to map both of them onto some state where the filling fraction is equal n plus a half. In order for this to be a gap state, we need the state with a half filled number, a half integer filling fraction to be integer quantum Hall state. And that requires the composite fermion to be Dirac. We know, for example, from the example of graphene, that the plateaus in Dirac relativistic fermions correspond to filling fraction, which is equal to integer plus a half. For example, in graphene, there is a jump of sigma xy from minus 2 to plus 2. This jump is 4 times larger than a half. That 1 half would give you because there are 4 copies of Dirac fermions in graphene. So this is the first thing we notice. Another thing we can notice is that if the composite fermion is Dirac, it is likely it is it would provide us with the resolution of the problem that Kivertson and collaborators identified in late 1990s. The particle Hall symmetry requires composite fermion to have non-zero anomalous Hall conductivity equal to minus a half. But Haldane and other people told us that the fractional part of the anomalous Hall conductivity of a two-dimensional system is equal to the Berry phase of the fermionic quasi-particle when we take it around the Fermi surface. And so the Berry phase of the composite fermion would have to be pi in order for that number 1 half to appear. So what was missing in late 1990 was the connection between that number, a possible connection between that number and the Berry phase of the composite fermion near the Fermi surface, around the Fermi surface. Another argument that I think one can make, and I think it's quite convincing, that the composite fermion has to be a Dirac particle is based on the properties of the operator of particle Hall conjugation. So if we remind ourselves that the operator theta of particle Hall conjugation acts on an empty Landau level and map that to a field Landau level, and also changes the definition, changes the creation and annihilation operators, we can discuss what theta square is equal to. Theta is an anti-unitary transformation. Theta square, when we compute, we find that theta square acting on the empty state is equal minus 1 times m plus minus 1 divided by 2, where m is the number of orbitals on the Lewis Landau level. We can also convince ourselves that it is this value of theta square is not specific for the empty state. If we act theta square on any state in the Lewis Landau level, inverse space, the theta square is simply change the phase of the state by the same factor. It's given here. And the reason is that there are some anti-commutation that you have to do when you do the algebra. Now, if we set the number of composite fermion to be half the number of orbitals, imagine you put a system of, on a finite torus, There is a finite number of flux quanta going through the torus. We expect that the number of composite fermions is half of that number. Then we find that theta squared is equal minus 1 to the power of the number of composite fermions. So that is the non-trivial information. For consistent theta squared assignment, each of the composite fermions has to acquire a sign minus 1 when we act theta squared, the square of the particle hole conjugation onto it. So this theta must be the same operator as the time reversal, how time reversal acts on the composite fermion. If we have just a fermion, non-relativistic spinless fermion, then theta squared will be equal to 1. So the notion of the Dirac composite fermion was first introduced by Mroz, Essien, and Alicia in the context of interacting TI. Yes?
So for this, the previous theta is a unitary or anti-unitary operator?
It is anti-unitary.
So the action on I equals minus I. Right?
Yeah. Okay. In the context of quantum Hall effect, it might seem, it might look very strange that we have an emergent Dirac fermions while the original electrons is non-relativistic. And I think it was a conceptual barrier to the notion of Dirac composite fermion. But one can appeal to the graphene as a model where the original electron is already already relativistic. So the if the original electron is relativistic, it's possibly that the composite fermion can be relativistic. If we have a single Dirac cone, in suppose we have a surface of topological insulator.
Here we don't. This is the problem.
Here we.
We don't have. There is an anomaly in graphene. There is no. The anomaly is cancelled. And here there is nothing to cancel the anomaly.
Here you mean on the.
In the non-relativistic case.
Let me
if you take a single relativistic wire fermion.
Right.
In two dimensions. Mm-hmm. You will have an anomaly.
Right.
And the question is, who is going to eat that anomaly?
Yeah, I hope that Max is going to explain how the anomaly is eaten. It's actually a very interesting question. But I'm going to proceed naively here. I'm just saying that if you have a Dirac cones on a two-dimensional surface and put that Dirac cones in a magnetic field, then we have a Landau level for the Dirac fermions. If the chemical potential is zero, then the zero Landau level lies exactly at the chemical potential level. And we have a half-field Landau level. So a relativistic Dirac cone in a magnetic field at zero chemical potential is already a very non-trivial quantum Hall problem. There is almost no difference between the physics of a relativistic fermion and a non-relativistic fermion if one can project the problem to the lowest Landau level. We have to diagonalize the same projected Hamiltonian. The only difference maybe is when we talk about the filling fraction, we have to take into account the minus 1/2 difference between what we call the relativistic filling fraction and the non-relativistic filling fraction. That state would, in the relativistic context would correspond to nu equal to zero. But if we think about that as a half field Landau level, that corresponds to nu equal to half. So there is this translation that we have to make when going from relativistic to non-relativistic electrons. Now, since we know that the number of composite fermions is not equal to the number of electrons, that we know from the following, that we know basically from this calculation. The number of composite fermions in this equation is half the number of orbitals on the lowest Landau level and is independent of the state of the number of electrons. So since the number of composite fermions is different from the number of electrons, the flux attachment is not a correct thing to correct procedure to think about. The flux attachment breaks particle hole symmetry by attaching the flux to an electron, but not to a hole. In fact, we cannot even formalize the procedure of attaching flux to a hole, because flux attachment acts in the original non-projected Hilbert space. So if that is not the right picture, what would be the alternative? How do we go from electrons to composite fermions? So let us perform some algebra on the chain sequence, on the filling fraction of the chain sequence. So the chain sequence, there are two sequences of nu that I call nu non-relativistic here. This is the more the conventional values for the nu. Nu equal n over 2n plus 1, and nu equal n plus 1 divided by 2n plus 1. And imagine that we look at these chain sequences for Dirac cone. Say, imagine that we can make a topological insulator and make the put the surface in a magnetic field. We should be able to find these chain sequences, and they correspond to a filling fraction, which would be these values minus a half in the relativistic convention. So the relativistic values for nu would be minus or plus 1 divided by 2 times 2n plus 1. Okay. So
the one-third state?
The one-third state corresponds to minus a 6. It's one-third minus a half. It's minus 1/6 convention. And we want to map, we want to design a theory that would map such a filling fraction to a filling fraction of the composite fermion equal a half integer, n plus a half. So looking at these two numbers, we see that the mapping should act so that 2 times the filling fraction of the relativistic fermion electrons is equal to 1 divided by 2 times the filling fraction of the composite fermion. So that is a hint that the mapping should look like a particle vortex duality. Particle vortex duality is a notion that is known in the context of bosons. In the fermion case, we imagine something that maps the magnetic field of the acting on the original fermion to the density of the composite fermion, and vice versa. The density of the original fermion should plays the role of the magnetic field of the fermion. Okay, and so the theory that one can think about, the simplest Lagrangian, the simplest action that accomplishes this task is written here. So psi here would be the fermionic Dirac field of the Dirac composite fermions. It's coupled to an emergent gauge field, a mu. And this emergent gauge field has a mixing, has a Chern-Simons mixing with the external gauge field. So that's the simplest Lagrangian that would map magnetic field to density and vice versa. And the way one see that is to first try to understand what is the electromagnetic current in the context of this theory. The electromagnetic current is simply the derivative of the action with respect to the external gauge field. And here it is because of that mixed Chern-Simons term, the electromagnetic current is equal to the electromagnetic field. The dual is the dual of the electromagnetic field of the small a. For example, the density of the electrons map to the magnetic field of the composite fermion. And if we look at the equation of motion coming out from varying the action with respect to a mu, one equation that we see is that the density of the composite fermions is equal to the magnetic field. Okay. So in this theory, the density of the composite fermion is not related to the density of the electrons at all, but they are this is related to the number of magnetic flux quanta in the original problem. Any question? So another comment that one can make is that if this theory, if the electron-electron, if we introduce an electron-electron interaction, for example, a density-density interaction of the electrons, that would map onto terms that looks like the square of the field potential, some kind of Maxwell kinetic term for the composite fermion. So the theory that we have would be a theory called QED3, single Dirac cone coupled to a U1 gauge field. If we have, on the other hand, Coulomb interaction between the original electrons, that would map to a non-local interaction, magnetic type interaction between the composite fermion. And it is a magnetic type interaction because of the duality, the density mapped to the magnetic field. And one can check that this in for Coulomb interaction, the we have only logarithmic divergences. We have marginal Fermi liquid. This duality is also, as Max will tell us, hopefully, will also useful for understanding gap phases on the surface of interacting TIs.
So in a pre-transparency, you have this fermion. And why the fermion are needed? What I try to say is that, you know, little a representing density and currents of fermion. And then whether one can replace your psi by another second little a. So you have this couple of U1 transaminant theory. Try to reproduce the effective theory of, say, 1/2 lambda level.
I think the issue, one of the non-trivial issue, is how to fit this theta square. This statement has to be mimicked within the And the most natural way, maybe there are some other ways, but the most natural, the simplest way is probably to have a Dirac fermion field. Yeah. So one can use this theory to compute, for example, electromagnetic response. Using, for example, RPA approximation, and we will find formulas that are slightly different from the formulas that one would get in the HLR theory. For example, imagine that you have you can compute the conductivity tensor of the composite fermions, then the RPA would tell you what is the conductivity tensor of the original electrons. So they basically are inverse of each other due to the duality. And here I also add a 1/2 to sigma xy to map the conductivity, the whole conductivity of the non of the relativistic electron to the conductivity of the non-relativistic electrons. All of this formula is written in the unit of E square over H in sigma and sigma tilde. So one thing you see here is that if the composite fermions fields no magnetic fields, its sigma xy tilde, this is the sigma xy of the composite fermion, would be zero. And at the level of the electron, the conductivity, the whole conductivity would be exactly equal 1/2. And it is this fact is enforced within the effective field theory. Now, probably I will just mention very briefly. One can ask whether one can enforce Galilean invariance and Kohn's theorem at the level of the Dirac fermion. It can be done. It's a little bit messy, and I'm still working on the detail of that. But at the end, you can write down a theory that is a theory of the Dirac composite fermion, but on the other hand, you will you can show that it is consistent with the Kohn's theorem in the for the original electrons. So, for example, the mapping between the sigma xy of the composite fermion and sigma, the conductivity tensor of the composite fermion and the conductivity tensor of the electron, looks almost like in the naive theory, except there is a omega dependence correction to sigma xx. And using, for example, a simplest relaxation time approximation, we find, for example, that sigma xy is just equal to nu in the absence it's equal. We can show that this sigma xy is equal to nu in exactly in the absence of impurities, and it's equal to nu in the relaxation time approximation. That's something I can tell you in private. Yeah. This is a field that one can introduce. I think there are two ways to think about this V. If we take V, you can just think about V, ignore all the terms that I've written here except this one, and write V equal E cross Z divided by B. Okay. So that is drift velocity. That term tells you that the composite fermion has a non-zero electric dipole moment. It's coupled to the momentum. This V, there is a term that couples that V to the momentum density of the composite fermion. So that is one way to think about the V. Another way to think about the V is to make, I think there is an equivalent theory in which you make V a new field that mediates a L equal 1 Landau interaction between the composite fermions. And you will find that that is also, that would make the theory consistent with zero bare mass for the electrons, even when the mass of effective mass of the composite fermion is non-zero. Okay, so we have mentioned one consequence, basically a consequence of the particle Hodge symmetry, that at nu equal 1/2, sigma xy is equal to 1/2 exactly. That assumes, strictly speaking, that the impurities are particle Hodge symmetric. But I think this statement is also valid when the impurities are particle Hodge symmetric only in the statistical sense. And I think that is a good symmetry even for physical system. So that can be contrasted to HLR, which predicts rho xy equal to 2, which is inconsistent with particle Hodge symmetry. Another consequence of the theory is that we can have a new particle Hodge symmetric gap state by pairing the composite fermions. Now the composite fermion is the Dirac field carrying a spinor index, and we can pair it in the channel that looks like a S-wave orbital angular momentum channel. Epsilon alpha beta here is plus or minus 1. So this is a quantum Hodge version of a state that people have discussed in the context of TI, and is called the T-Parfian. So I would like to call this state a PH-Parfian state, the particle Hodge symmetric version of the Parfian state. It is distinct from the Parfian state. In order to have a Parfian state, one has to pair Dirac composite fermion with angular momentum equal to 2. In order to make an anti-Parfian state, we would pair the Dirac composite fermion with angular momentum minus 2. And that explains why in the original non-relativistic picture, we have not been able to think about the pairing in the composite fermion that lead to an anti-Parfian state.
This state differs from the original part of a whole symmetric Parfian state that Lee and Fisher formulated. I mean, your new PH Parfian state, is it different from what they came up with?
No, I actually didn't know what, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't heard about that state. So maybe
in 2007 by Sunsick. Well, Sunsick, is it different?
It's not particle symmetric.
That was the title of your paper.
So particle symmetric version of Parfian, but state itself is not symmetric.
But the same now being statistics, right? So the difference, that's only in the particle symmetry is realized.
We can map quasi-particle. We can map.
So the particle have a certain particle whole quantum number, which
you can. You can pair up the quasi-particle
but
into particle whole.
But if you break particle symmetry, it will be the same as the previous quantum states.
Yes. It will. I think.
Are you?
This is the Parfian, that Parfian when you break.
I'm talking about P Parfian states. Does the P Parfian have the same statistics?
The P Parfian.
Or PH Parfian, the same statistic as the Parfian. So basically, if you
maybe,
break
yeah.
particle or symmetry, whether it will be the same as Parfian or you have different statistics.
I think it's
different.
Different.
It's
but
the non-abelian part is the same, but the.
Abelian.
The abelian part, the twists are. The spins are different.
It's different. I see.
So
it's a different.
It's
a different.
So it's
really different things.
Yeah. It also has a different shift. It's equal to 1 instead of 3. Its shift is halfway between Parfian and anti-Parfian.
I see.
Yeah.
So really
different
things.
Also
central
charge.
Okay.
It's here. Yeah. On the surface, you have. One mode going this way, the other mode going the opposite way compared to the Parfian.
The total center track is 0.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one can think about the HLR theory as a non-relativistic limit of the Dirac fermions. And I will only sketch how one can think about the HLR theory here. Imagine that you have a breaking of particle hole symmetry. I call that CP here because in the field theory, it looks like C. There is, it looks like charge conjugation combined with another symmetry. The composite fermion has a mass. And if one imagine a situation in which the chemical potential of the composite fermion is just above the mass, we would have non-relativistic composite fermion. So we can transfer, we can rewrite the Dirac action of the composite fermion into a non-relativistic action. However, when we go from non-relativistic, from relativistic fermion to non-relativistic fermion, we have to take into account that there is Dirac's field Dirac C that contribute to sigma xy of the composite fermion. So this would generate an ADA term, the Chern-Simons term, with interaction between the composite fermion. So the old HLR theory is reproduced this way. The Chern-Simons interaction in particular is reproduced this way. So the HLR theory can be thought of as the particle hole symmetric symmetry broken, extreme case limit of the Dirac composite fermion where the particle hole symmetry is broken. So let me mention that very recently there is we have seen numerical evidence for the Dirac composite fermion. The idea is to look at for suppression of backscattering on a particle hole symmetric defect. You simulate the composite form, nuke one half state and create the defect that you are sure that would preserve particle hole symmetry. And then look for 2KF singularity and some correlation function. That 2KF singularity comes from scattering a composite fermion and change it near the Fermi surface and change its momentum by change the sign of the momentum. And there are two trajectories that contribute to the classical amplitude. If the Berry phase is equal to pi, these two trajectories cancel each other, and the cancellation has been observed. Let me mention also that there is it is a lowest Landau level simulation, and they also observed that if you break particle hole symmetry, then that's this store. This is no longer zero. Let me mention also that there is a quite attractive intuitive picture that was proposed by Wang and Santil that the composite fermion can be thought of as the result of attaching two fluxes to the electrons, but the two fluxes, one of the fluxes displaced from the original electron, so that each of these part of the composite fermion can be thought of as a semion with a charge E equal 2 at the flux equal to 2 pi. And the particle hole symmetry is just the symmetry of this picture with respect to changing this part with this part. I think there might be some truth in this picture. Okay, so let me go to the conclusion. The particle hole symmetry was a challenge for the old composite fermion picture, but the Dirac composite fermion solved this problem. We should think about flux. We should think about the transition from original electron to composite fermion as some kind of particle vortex duality instead of the old flux attachment. Flux attachment was a very fruitful idea, but it breaks particle hole symmetry. Maybe there is a version of particle vortex duality that would fix this problem. One has to come up with a better derivation of the effective theory. And I would like to mention here that there is a very recent paper by David Mross and collaborators when they claim to have been able to derive the theory of the composite Dirac composite fermion by first discretizing the theory in one dimension. That derivation breaks rotational invariance, but it's a very non-trivial derivation. One can ask the question whether there are experimental, one can measure directly the periphase of the composite fermions, or if there are other experimental signatures that will tell us that the composite fermion is Dirac. Thank you very much.
So I think numerics is about DN origin.
Yeah.
If I just take the Fermi surface and then project to the lowest under level projection, do I still get this pi very phase?
I'm not sure. It is
the
one.
Yeah. Assume it's the same state as they get DN origin.
But the state is not exactly particle hole symmetry. The projection,
yeah. Another question? I have a comment, a question.
Yeah.
I mean, I sympathize with this, but the problem with the anomaly still bothers me. I think the argument that it's a half-field lambda level is not equivalent in the non-relativistic case and in the relativistic case. In the relativistic case, you still have the field fermacy below, and
right,
that's where the anomaly lies. So there is spectral flow and you use the flux in that case. And so that's the question, what happens with the anomaly then depends on how the theory is regularized. You have to regularize the negation invariant way.
Right.
If you have a surface of a three-dimensional topological insulator, the bulk, or rather the other state at the end of the universe, cancels that anomaly.
Right.
Here there is no one to cancel that anomaly.
But if you think about this relativistic case, for example,
yes,
any local probe that you do on this surface will not depend on things that happen on the other one, the other end.
But the anomaly has a character. It's the incompressible nature of the spectrum. It's the most rigid.
But that,
okay.
That.
When you fill the flux.
Right. But that, if you measure transport, that basically just a local addition to the transport coefficient.
I know, but in order to make the statement that the two problems are equivalent, you need to ignore the field premise.
But I didn't ignore it. This one is the effect of the other end, the contribution to sigma xy from the other end of the universe.
That's what I'm trying to say, that a single Dirac fermion, two components, in two dimensions, is not well defined. Then you have an anomaly.
Yeah, but I can define it by attaching another surface that I assume.
Right, but here we don't have any. We have just a two-dimensional electron gas. There's nothing.
There's nothing, but all the local probe, I claim all the local correlation function
right,
can be mapped to a local correlation function of the fermion If we are careful, maybe Max has a better answer.
So I can also try to discuss this in my talk, but there are two issues, right? Yeah. So first of all is you have global symmetry, global U1 symmetry,
right?
And strictly in two dimensions, there is no anomaly for that symmetry. And there is no anomaly for that symmetry because the whole conductance is equal to 1/2. And you can say, but how can whole conductance of 1/2 be symmetric under some particle hole symmetry, under some anti-unitary symmetry? Mm-hmm. And that's because the particle hole symmetry in the lowest Landau level is a non-local symmetry. In fact, because the Hilbert space of the lowest Landau level is non-local.
Sure.
So that's the kind of the easy part. Then there is a difficult part, which is, we have an effective theory with a single Dirac fermion coupled to a Chern-Simons field with single Dirac cone, which is the composite fermion, coupled to a U1 gauge field with no Chern-Simons term.
Mm-hmm.
And, for a field theorist, that should immediately raise alarms.
Okay, so this is my field theory side, okay?
So,
speaking.
So, and I think the resolution of that is the compactness of this U1 gauge field is not the same as in the standard case.
Why does that help you?
So in the derivation that I will give,
yes,
where the derivation kind of starts with the bulk and does something to the bulk, somehow the compactness of the gauge field on the surface still remembers something about the bulk. In some sense, if your surface is, if your 2D state is a torus, it lives on a torus,
yes,
somehow you have to say that one of the directions of the torus is, the two directions of the torus are not equivalent, and the periodicity of the gauge field along the two directions is different.
Okay, so we'll hold on until the end of your talk. Yeah? More questions or comments? Okay, let's start down. Eh?